Okay, today's daf is Kuf Hei. We're catching up from Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Hahu Gavra, about 10 lines down at the beginning of the line.
There was a gentleman.
There was a Gavra. Chaim will move over a bit so Yehuda can fit in. There's a bar here, that's the problem. That's why I couldn't sit there. So we were discussing yesterday that there was different places where the custom was that in the Ksuba, they would write the dowry that the shver is giving the son-in-law, they would put in double to make it look good. So if he was going to give him $500, they'd write $1,000. And in some places, even triple, that if he was going to give only $333, they'd write $1,000. So we said that it depends on whether there's a... If there's a kinyan made on this, then whatever it says, that's what you got to give. But if there's no kinyan, and the custom is to write double, then he's understood that he's only going to collect half when he comes to the shver. Yeah, so that's the topic we're discussing. Is Ahu Gavra, there was a bloke, the Amar Lahu, that he said to the people writing the Ksuba, or to whoever, he said to his Shluchim, Havu la arba meyazuzid librati b'ksubasa. Give her $400 to my daughter in the Ksuba. So what does it mean, give her $400 in the Ksuba? Yeah, is the question is, does it mean he really wants to give $400? Or does he mean he wants the Ksuba to say $400, so he's only giving $200? Does he mean Abra Meya the Inun Tamni Meya? Does he mean give her 400? I really want to give 400, and therefore what you're writing the ksuba to make it look embellished is you put 800. Oi, Abra Meya Zuzi the Inun Masan. Or is he saying that you should write 400, which means I'm only really giving 200? What does he mean by that? So Ravashi says you've got to look at the words. What did he actually say? If he said 400, which is 800, if he says give her 400, then it means write 800 so that you'll be giving her 400.
Who would think about that?
All these people here.
No, you're saying that was the local minute.
That was the way they did it. They used to inflate the value to make it.
That was the custom. They would write double to make it look good. Yeah. And E Omar. So if he says give her 400, that means that you have write 800 so that she's getting 400. E Omar ksevu la arba meyazuzi. But if he said write 400, then the Inun Masan, then it means he's only giving 200.
Don't they say thousand? It's like Shah Hamishis.
Instead of one, they'll say thousand. So this
discussion here is clearly to make it look better, to more shvach, to make it look, you know, 5 chickens. I'm giving 10 chickens. You know how it was in the good old days. Ikad the Amri. Some say that Omar Ravashi Chazinon. Ravashi says you don't look at the word give or write. That's not the determining factor. But Iyamal Liksubasa. If he writes for the ksuba, it means Arba Meyazuzi the Inam Tamnu Meya. It means he's giving $400 for the ksuba, so you have to write 800. The Iyamal Biksubasa. If he says write, put it in the ksuba, 400 is Abba Meyazuzi the Inun Masan. That's what it means to give only 200.
Right, four.
Yeah, Valohi. But that Ikadiyamri, that is not so, says the Gemara, because Loishna the Amar Lichsubasa, Loishna the Amar Biksubasa, doesn't matter whether he says Li or Bi, Abba Meyazuzi the Inun Masan, you assume that when he says 400, he only wants to give 200. The Omar Havula Stama, until he says give. When he says give her 400, that's definitive. But any other expression always means that he's only giving half of what he said. Okay, that was one Ahu Gavra. Now we have another Ahu Gavra. It's a different Gavra. Ahu Gavra the Kibbal Aram Mechavre. Now we finished with the Ksuba. We're back to the guy who's working the land, yeah? So he was Mechabal to work the land for his friend, Omar. And he said to the guy, to the balabos, the worker says to the owner, to the employer, "In my varna law, if I bludge off and don't do it, yahivna lach al fezuzi, I'll give you $1,000." Yeah. So again, does he really mean it or doesn't really mean it? Is what happened was over tilsa. He didn't do a third. So he was supposed to plant the whole field, and produce the crops from a field. And he told the guy, if I don't do it, I'll give you $1,000 as compensation. What happened was he only did 2/3 of the field, and the other third he left blank. He was too lazy. So what do? Is Omri Nahardoi, so the Bezdin of Nahardoi said, Dina hu de yoiv lay klas me avit lasin vitilsa. Because he left a third blank. So what did he say? If I don't work the field, I'll give you $1,000. So if I don't work a third of the field, I'll give you a third of $1,000, which is 333 and a third, and a third, a third, and a third, and a third recurring. So that's what the Nahardoi thought. Rava Amar Asmachtehi. Rava said that this is only, it was just words. Yeah, it was just words, and a smachta loy kanya. There was no kinyan on this $1,000, so he doesn't have to give anything. Fredi Gemara la Rava, Maishna Bharat Nava. We learned in the Mishnah that if he said, in the Mishnah we said, that im oyev v'lay avid, that if the guy writes, if I leave it fallow when I don't work in it, Ashalim b'meitva will pay for it. So the Gemara answers, that's different, because there he's saying, I'll pay for it, I'll pay whatever you missed out on. It's awesome, like a gossip. When a guy says, if I don't work, I'll make up whatever you would have lost, because we were supposed to get from my work.
That's no exaggeration.
That's not a smachta, that's just normal business practice. Yeah. What's a smachta? A smachta means that a guy doesn't really think it's going to happen. Yeah. The classic case is when it's the pigeon race, right? You think your pigeon's going to win, and your pigeon didn't win, so you didn't really mean to give the money, because you thought you were going to win. So that's what it was, a loikanya, because you didn't really mean it.
That's what Devis Das.
It was not so much Devis Das. You didn't really want to give it. You didn't think you. You weren't planning. You weren't planning to give it.
With horse racing and things like that, okay. That's the problem, because you're not really intending.
Because
to give
that's the pshat of smachta. Smachta means that you think you're not going to have to give it. So therefore, you didn't really mean to give it. Whereas over here, when he says that if I don't work it, I'm going to just make up your loss. So then that's not a smachta, that's just normal business practice. If I cause you a loss, I'm going to make up the loss. But Hacha, when he says, I'm going to give you $1,000, given the Ka'amar Milsi is there, because he said extra $1,000, is Guzn be Alma Huda Kagazim. It was just blubbling, and he didn't really mean it, and therefore that's a smachta.
So, if you would have said a more reasonable amount, then it'd be like, yeah, if he said 500.
If he would have said an amount which is basically reasonable.
$20.50.
No, if he would have said a reasonable amount that is based on how much that field would have produced, yeah, so then it's reasonable. But if he says an unreasonable amount, he doesn't really mean it. Okay, next Ahu Gavra. Ahu Gavra to Kibul Arul Shum Shumi. He was supposed to, the deal was he was going to plant poppy seeds. Sesame. I always say poppy. Why don't I do that? Because I'm Glix. I have everything bagel, so I get it all. So he's supposed to plant sesames. Zarachiti. And instead he planted what? Wheat. Now the deal is that sesame is normally more expensive, but it also does more damage to the land. So there's an advantage and a disadvantage in planting the wrong one, yeah? And what happened was, of the chiti kishumshumi, he made as much money from the wheat as he would have made if he had planted the wheat. He did a good job where he produced super wheat, I don't know. And he ended up with making as much money from the wheat as he would have made if he'd done sesame. The savar of Kahana Lameimar, Rama Kahana thought, but the fact is, he actually made more money than he would have, because not only did he get the same income as he would have got, but he didn't depreciate the land. It's manki like kasha da'ara. So when he gives to the balabas, he should deduct what the balabas would have expected to lose from depreciation of his land. So he can deduct that from the amount that he gives him. As Amalet of Ashav Kahana, Omri Inchi, people say, no. What does that mean then if you do that? That means that the income is going to be the same, but you're going to deduct because there's no loss of land. So ultimately, at the end of the day, the balabas is going to get less money than he budgeted for. Yeah? So the people, and people don't like that. People don't want to get less money they budgeted for. They would say, I'd rather that I get the damage to the land than I make the revenue that I was supposed to get. Yeah? Don't do me any toivis and tell me I'm going to get less revenue when you did less damage to my land. I want to get the revenue. That's how I live. I take money and I buy things with it. So therefore, lalich hashmara literally means the owner shouldn't be weakened. I'd rather my land is weakened than I'm weakened. Okay, that was another Ahu Gavra. Ahu Gavra, the Kabal Ara, the Sumshami, this time was opposite. He was supposed to plant sesame and Zarachiti. Oh no, same, not the opposite. He was supposed to plant sesame. Zarachiti, and he planted wheat. But this time, of the chiti tfeim in shumshumi, he was so super wheat that it was worth even more, the revenue was worth even more than it would have been if he would have done sesame. So who was it? Ravina thought that what he should do, the guy should get the worker should get the worker should get the extra. He must have worked really hard to make super wheat, so he got extra. So good on him. What do you mean he worked extra? It was a teamwork, him and the land. Maybe he produced extra because the land was really good. So therefore, what, he made extra and the land didn't? It's not fair that the workers should get all of the extra, and therefore they have to split it according to the regular deal, as they normally do. Okay, Omri Nahardo. The Nahardoi Beis Din said, Hi Iska, when you do an Iska, you hear an Iska means when... it's not working so much as going to sell. Yeah, I have schoira and I give it to you to take to market, or traveling salesman. You're going to take the schoira around the country and sell it for me. as payment for your efforts, you're going to get half. Yeah. So I have the schoira, but I couldn't be bothered running around the country. So I'm going to pay you half. Instead of employing you, it's commission. I'm going to give you 50% as commission, and that's it. Yeah. So that's the Iska. So he says like this, Palga is a milva and Palga is a pikodin. We have to consider that half of it is considered a pikodin, that he's looking after the schoira that belongs to the employer, but half of it is considered a loan, and that it's his own, it belongs to him. In other words, and therefore, when he's taking half the risk, if something happens to it on the way, etc., the risk is shared. So that's the way they did it. Because Ovid Rabban and Milsa the Nechel the Loiv of Nechel the Malva, the Chachamim made it that way in order that everyone should be happy. Because if he makes it completely a milva, then all the risk is on the salesman. If he makes it completely a pikadon, then as he's traveling around, if there's a onus, then the risk is completely on the balabas. So nobody would be happy with that. So everyone's happy. We'll share the risk 50-50. Okay, so that's it. No, it's a milva.
It's a shoyel. Yeah, it's a shoyel.
One's a shoyel.
Yeah, but he doesn't return the goods. He's
okay, but it's okay. That's why they called it a milva. So I'll have to pay for it. That means the achrayis is on him. Mm. When I lend you money, if the money is an onus happens to that money, you still have to pay me back, right? So that's what it means. Okay, so that's what Nahardoi said. Now the Gemara says, Hashta de Amrinon Palga Milva. Since half of it's a loan, when I lend you money, by the same token, you can do whatever you want with that money. Yeah, you might have borrowed the money to start a business, but if you feel like using the money to go to the pub and buying beer, that's your business because you have to pay me back. Is he boy the mishta b'shikra? If he wants to go to the pub and drink some beer, apredami, he can do it. It's Rava Omar name lahachi karlo iska. That's what they call it, business deal. Yeah, the Omalei that he says, the balascheres says to the balas sales, ki yahiv nalach lasuki bay. I'm lending you this money, kaviyachol, that you should go and work and make some money on it. Below the mishti b'shikra, not you should spend it in the pub. So it's like a tznai attached, even though it's considered a loan, but it's loan. It's a business loan.
When they're saying iska, are they saying it's actually goods, or they're saying money, or makes no difference?
No, it's goods.
Yeah.
It's goods, but it's considered a loan. You can't just say, I'm going to go to the pub, I'm not going to sell it, and I'll just pay you back the money, the value of what you gave me. Amar avidi bar abin, ve'im meis. If the because it's a loan, if he dies, nasim etalkul netzel bono. But the normal din is that when a person owes money and he dies, so the children, the orphans, do not have to pay. They have to pay to the creditor only from real estate, but not from metaltolin. Yeah, because metaltolin are not mishubed. So therefore, this is considered metaltolin. If he dies, the orphans therefore do not have to repay the loan. Part of this whole thing, and Rava says no. Rava Amar lahachi karu lahuiska. That's why he calls it a business deal. The image maybe metaltlin eitzel bonov. That if he dies, it's not considered metaltlin. It's a business deal, and therefore it is mishubit to the balhar schoira. Okay, Amar Rava chada iska. If they do one deal, they have one deal for $100 worth of schoira, the three story, and they split the star into two, and they make it two deals of 50. Pseida de Malva. That means the balabas is going to lose out. Why is it so? I worked it out and I wrote it down.
You got a big Rashi.
Yeah, but this is the summary of the Rashi. Okay, because what the deal was like this. a loss, the malva takes 50%. In order that it shouldn't be ribis, we learned way back in the ribis chapter. Yeah, in order that it shouldn't be ribis, the malva has to go korev le hefsid, rochot miskar and korev le hefsid. Because if the malva is going to share equally in the profits, it means that for the schar tircha that this guy worked on the loan, the guy worked on the loan, it's like a ribis midrabbanon. Yeah? So therefore he has to pay the worker extra as wages, otherwise the worker's working for nothing on that half, it's like interest. Yeah, we learned that back in the interest parak. Therefore, the normal way to set it up is that on a loss, the malva shares 50% of the loss. If something happens and they lose money, then they split the loss 50-50. But when there's a gain, the worker gets 2/3 of the gain. Yeah? So therefore, mathematically, if they will make it, if they'll split it into two. So let's say there's a $100 investment, and they split it into two deals of 50, and let's say the first deal, this is Rashi's example, in the first deal, they lost $50 on the first lot of schayra. They sold it at a loss, they lost $50. So the malva will lose $2.50. $50, they lost $5. They sold it for $45, they lost $5. So each one loses $2.50. The malva loses $2.50. The second 50 made a gain of $15. Yeah, these numbers are rushy, so don't blame me. Now, if it's $15, so on a gain, he gains only a third. No, he gets 1/3. The malva gets 1/3. Right, the malva gets 1/3, so he gets $5. So overall, he gains $2.50. He loses $2.50 on the loss. He gains $5 on the gain, so he gains $2.50. Okay, so that's what he would get by splitting it into two, treating it as two separate deals. Now, what happens if you made it all one deal of 100, and the overall gain is 10? Instead of dividing it into a loss of 5 and a gain of 15, you call it a gain of 10. So, and he makes a third of the gain. What's a third of the gain of 10? $3.33.
So the malva is better off and the loiva is worse off.
No, so the malva is, well, he says if you make it into two, the malva is worse off. It's one deal. But by splitting it into two, the malva... No, not making it into one, it is one.
Yeah.
Right? And he gave him $100 worth of schayra. If for some reason they wrote a shtar on two separate deals, the malva will lose out if there's a loss on one of them. Because he loses a bigger percentage than what he gains on the gain. So it's better off for him to make it one deal. So therefore Rabbi says he shouldn't do it. Why is Rabbi telling us that? Because it's not fair to the malva. Yeah, you can't just say, oh, what's the difference? One deal of 100 or two deals of 50 is the same thing. The answer is, it's not the same. Top of the page. Tzrei Itzki. If, however, it should have been two deals. Yeah? So they made two separate deals. One, how do you know it was two separate deals? Because one was on Monday, we made a deal for $150. And on Tuesday, we came along and said, you know what, let's do another deal for another $50. So it was organized as two separate deals. V'chad shtara. If you'll put it into one shtar now... Now the malva is going to get his 333, and instead of the 250, this way the loiva is losing on what he should have got. So it's said to the loiva. This is just the flip side, yeah. So the flip side. So in other words, it's better for the malva to have it as one deal. It's better for the loiva to have it as two deals, yeah. So therefore, either way, if you do it the wrong way, you're cheating somebody. And what Rob is saying is, you should make it as many deals as it is. If it's one deal, make it one deal, so you're not ripping off anybody. And if it's two deals, make it two deals, so you're not ripping off the loiva. Okay, did that work? On a little piece of paper? Okay. Next. We are Marava. Hi, man, the kibble iskim in chavre. Someone who's mekabel schoira from his friend, who posid, and he started off and he was losing. In the beginning, he wasn't a good salesman, and he was losing money. But then he gottened on to sales tactics, and Torah, he bothered more. He did some courses on how to sell. Umalye, and he filled up the loss. Yeah, so he made good on the bad sales that he did before. But v'loy oidi, he didn't even tell the guy. He was too embarrassed to tell him that I'm losing money, so he didn't tell him anything. He just improved his performance.
Well, it depends if it was one star or two stars.
One second. So at the moment we're saying it's one deal. It's one deal, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he didn't tell him. Loy motzi amalei, he can't tell him, droi mehayach pseida bahadoi, you take half of the loss that I made in the first place, and then you only get a third of the profit when I improve my performance. He can't tell him that. Yeah, again, it's one deal. You can't tell him to take the 50% of that loss and only 30% of this. Yeah, you can't do that. Why? Mishum da amalei. Because he said to him, because the Baal HaSchoira will say to the salesman, when you say you worked better at the end, it wasn't you worked better to do me a toiva, to make up the loss.
You wanted to make some money.
You wanted to not look like a shlamazel. You didn't want to lose your job. Yeah, so you picked up your performance. That's not a reason why I should count it as a loss what you stuffed up before. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Your performance was poor and you fixed it.
But if you put aside this law of robbers, if it's the one deal, then why should you? Why is the Havamin to say that you may be able to tame
split it?
Because, I mean, robber gives us two scenarios, but they set up the deals in a certain way to give those results.
Right.
Here's the one deal. How can you even have a Havamin to say that, well, I'll do it the way that the first option of robbers were?
In other words, if we followed robber's advice in the previous one, then we wouldn't have the question in the first place.
In other words, if you follow his second scenario.
Yeah. Mm. Rava, this is Hilchus business. This is not really...
It's not really
halacha. It's balabatish. It's how to run a business.
Business advice.
V'yama Rava, Hani betrayed of the iski bahadei adodi v'ravach. There were two salespeople, but unlike normal thing with this competition between the salespeople and each one tries to outsell the other, in this deal, the two partners were going to sell it in tandem as a team, yeah. Agents in conjunction. We are sales consultancy, and we'll give you two salespeople, and they're going to go off and sell your stuff. But the whole deal is one deal.
So was this one balabos and two salesmen?
Yeah, one balabos and two salesmen. But the two salesmen are all partners. Yes. The two salespeople are partners in selling.
So you've got to look at what's at the end result. You know, look at what each one...
Right, so if they made a profit today... Yeah. So let's say they were working... They were supposed to work for 30 days selling this stuff on a sales binge. And what happened was, after 15 days, they already made a lot of money. One says to the other, you know what? I've had enough of this. I've made enough money. I'm ready to stop. So I'll live like... Let's split up the profits and split, as they say. And so therefore, idoch. If the other bloke says to him, nothing doing, narvach tvei, I want you to keep going and we'll make double the profit we made so far, dinahu d'ma'akiv, he's allowed to stop him from... He says, no, you can't back out. We're in the middle of a deal. Our deal was for 30 days. You can't just stop after 15 days. You can't. V'yamalei havli pagadarafcha. And if he says, okay, but give me my half of the profit. Give me the half of the profit now. Let's split the profits we've made so far. And we'll start again. Yeah? I don't know if there's compound interest on this. It doesn't really make sense. You reinvest the profits or you... Or he says to me, I don't want to reinvest the profit.
And this is before they account to the balabos.
Yeah, they don't even come to the balabos. It's between the two salespeople, right? So after 15 days, one guy says to the other, you know what? Let's cash in the profits we've made so far. Instead of reinvesting, it looks like the normal thing was you reinvest the profits till the end of the 30 days. Yeah, so he says, I don't want to reinvest. I want to take off the profit and live under the principle. I want to cash in my profits, and we'll keep working another 15 days on the original principle. It's on my life. So the other guy can say to him, no, Rav Chalakana Mishtabin, the profits are Meshubah, they're connected to the original, yeah, because it's compounding. We made profits, we're going to plow it back into the business and make more money. And that's the way we run the business. You can't just take out profits because you want to go into the pub and then leave me with the same principle. If he says, okay, you know what, I want to split with you all together. Give me my half of the profits and give me my half of the principal, and I'll go my own way and you go your own way. He says, no. Iski lahadod yemishubit. No, the whole deal is all together. We make a better business if we have more volumes, so we have to do it together. And if he says, you know what, we'll even split the profits and split the principal. And not only that, which is the same thing I said before, but he puts a sweetener in there. And he says, Imatilach Pseida Darina Badoch, I want to split with you. Are you worried that you won't do as well as a single standalone guy? I'll pay you extra. If you don't do as well, I'll make up your loss. As I'm alone, no. He says, no, I still don't want to do that. Because mazla de betray adif. The mazel of two people working together is better than one person working by himself. Like Tavl Mace of Tandu. That's it. Okay. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Amakabal Saram Chaveiroi, Vilei Ratzal Nakesh. He accepted to work in the field and he doesn't want to weed. He doesn't want to take out the weeds while he's working. And he says, the Omar line, he says to him, what do you care? So what's the problem? If you don't take out the weeds, it doesn't produce as much. So he says, the worker says to the balabas, what do you care? I'm giving you a fixed amount. Remember, Rav Papa promised us that each one of these mishnas now, well, he's going to apply to either either chachiris or kablonis, but not both. So this one is only when it's chachiris, because he's guaranteeing to give a fixed amount. So he says to the Bala boss, what do you care if I work hard, I don't work hard, I hoe it, I don't hoe it, I weed it, I weed it. I'm giving you a guaranteed return. So what do you care of what I do with it? Yeah? It's ein shomei lo. We don't listen to the worker. Because the owner of the field can say to him, tomorrow you're finishing your deal and you're leaving. And you're going to leave. You're going to have weeds all over my field. So therefore you can't do it. Ah, Fred, now the Gemara says, what if he says to him, you know what? I won't leave you the grass at the end, because instead of weeding as I go, I'll wait till I'm finished, and then I'll plow up the whole thing. So ultimately, you'll be left with a clean field. So nothing to complain about. Amalei, so the Baal HaField can say, no, not only that, but I want good quality wheat. The wheat that grows when it's surrounded by weeds is not as good quality as when it's not. So even if you give me the same amount and volume, it won't be good quality. And therefore, you have to weed. If he says, you want good quality, I'll go and buy from Glicks and I'll give you good quality. You can have that quality and I'll take the bad quality because I couldn't be bothered weeding. He can say to him, no, I don't want Glicks, I want my own. I want stuff from my land. That's, people like to have the stuff that they grew in their own land. They don't want to have someone else's. If he says to him, you know what, we have a deal that I'm going to give you 100 bushels of wheat and the rest is mine. So you want good quality. So you know what? I will weed as much as I need to get good quality for you. And for myself, I'll take rubbish quality. I will weed as much as is needed for your portion, and the rest I won't. So he says to him, you still can't do it. Because people are going to see that you took out of your reputation. You planted in my field, and you didn't do it properly for two-thirds of it. And you take home the rubbish wheat, and people are going to see, this is the wheat that grows in Yehuda's field.
And next year,
you won't be able to hire anybody. Next year, you'll be looking for somebody to do a deal, and everyone's going to go, I wouldn't touch Yehuda's field. It's rubbish. Look what happened last year. And really, the only reason it's rubbish is because the guy didn't weed it. So he says, you can't do that. You're going to ruin my reputation.
He's chocolate biscuits nearly as bad as Hamish.
That's it. Fred, the Gemara of Atzman. What are you giving me all these excuses? The Mishnah doesn't give this excuse. The Mishnah says, it neshem malas l'fnam ha'asavim. The only excuse is because you're going to leave their grass. Allah mishum da'amalei bizra d'nafal nafal. But so forget about all these other reasons. And the reason why he can stop him is because he says that even if you hoe it up later, you plow it up later, if you don't take the weeds away when they grow, they're going to drop more seeds. And therefore, even if you then remove the original one, the seeds are in there contaminating my field, and the weeds are going to come back more next time. And therefore, you must weed on the spot.
As you go along.
Okay, next. Mishnah. Makabel. He is makabel, and it didn't work. He didn't get anything. He didn't get any produce. So the guy wants to back out in the middle of the year. He says, you know what? It's not going. I've already wasted half a year on this. Instead of wasting the rest of the year, I'll go and do something else. Yeah? Is im yeshba kedei lahamid kri, if it's growing enough to make a pile, that's a really good shear, yeah? Mm-hmm. How much should it have to make? A pile's worth. Well, how much is that? We don't know yet.
It must have been a standardized size.
We'll see. The Gemara's going to ask, what's a pile? Yeah? If it's enough to make a pile, it's chayav atabal, but he can't just walk away. He has to keep working on that pile. Om Rabbi Yehuda, my kitzva b'kri. What sort of a fixed amount is a pile? A pile's not a fixed amount. Ella im yesh b'kidei nefila. He says, the amount that falls, what does that mean to fall? That means you harvest it and you replant it. Because what do you do? So how do you plant? You take last year's and you take a small amount and you replant. Yeah. So if there's enough growing this year that it would be a viable replant for next year, then he has to keep working on it.
That's no profit. That's what the whole exercise.
No, it's not about profit. It's bad luck. But he has to fulfill his deal.
Yeah. In other words, at least the very least you got to do is you got to produce enough.
But that was the deal he made. So he can't back out on the deal. It didn't produce. But if it has enough to make a pile, he has to keep working. Because what he writes in the deal is, I will leave it fallow when it needs to be to make it lush. Ve'ezra, I'll plant. Ve'echzed, I will cut. Ve'amer, I'll pile it up. Ve'edosh, and I will thresh it. Ve'idri, and I will winnow it. Ve'ukim, kari kadamach, and I will put a nice pile of wheat in front of you, the tasty aunt, the titel palga, and you will come and take a half. Vanoba moli of enough yodi palga, and me for my work and for my expenses, I will take half. That's the contract. Yeah, the kama kadela hami bakri. So the Gemara should ask the same question: how much is a kri? You take the pitchfork and you stick it in, yeah, and it has what to grab. That's a pile. Yeah, that's what he says. As Yibolu, the question is, when you stick the pitchfork in, if the two ends of the pitchfork are sticking out at the end, it's obviously a smaller pile than if it gets the whole thing concealed. So is that still considered a pile tinished? Toshama, Amra Rabbi Abahu, the Dima Farshlim and Rabbi Shmechanino, Kol She'en Kainish Alayreya Pe'acham. It has to be that it doesn't see the sun. Yeah, they stick it in, it's buried in amongst the wheat. Itmar, we learned Itmar's statement, Levi Yom HaSholish Soin, how much is that? So Levi says it's 3 Sa'ah, and Rabbi Rabbiana Yom HaSasayim is 2 Sa'ah. Amrish, Lakish, Tatayim, Shet, Amru, Chutz Minay Tzah. When it says Sasayim, it's excluding the amount
from expenses for the farmer incurred.
Yeah, so therefore, otherwise, it's not worth it, even if he's got two. So he passes like the Beit Rabbiana that it's two,
net,
but it's two nets, not gross.
When they're talking about the Hagar, I mean, that's actually the grain with the stubble.
I get, yeah, that's when you
because there, no? Exactly, yeah.
So
no,
saying,
no,
after
no, 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 no.
Well,
so it's the cream. It's after the whole deal. No?
So
the half the cream is
just
the
seeds. But if you put a hoe in, it's got to be like a shovel more than a hoe, because otherwise the grain is going to fall through.
It's not a hoe, a pitchfork, isn't it?
Even a pitchfork into grain, what are you getting?
Whatever kind of implement that is.
Okay, this isn't even balabatish, it's farmish. It's not hossam. We learned in the Mishnah. Pritz say zesim. Naughty zesim, like a person who's a pritz, you know, pritzim. So this is an olive that has pritzus, that is he's wicked. Yeah. That's right. They're wicked. Vanovim and similarly grapes. Bishamay mitamim. Bishamay says still tumas eichlin. It's considered food even though it's naughty and it has food. Obesilo, they never ripen. Obesilo mitamim because it's not food. My pritz is zesim. What's the pshat? Amar of huna rishay zesim. Rishoyim, the wicked ones. Amar of yesiv my crow. How do I know that pritzus means wickedness? That the wicked ones of your people were going to put up a vision and they stumbled. He had a son who was a poritz and he killed people. How many naughty ones? How much produce of olive is considered wicked?
No, Rashi says, how much can it ripen or not ripen before you consider it?
Yeah, how much is it that it's considered still porous? For Balazar, Amar Arbaz Kav in the Kaira, for one bean press, four calves, and the Berabiana Yamis Asayim Lekaira, two Sa'ah for a bean press. It all depends on how much they put into one pile when they press. What's considered a viable amount? Oh, 7:30. All right, we're going to stop because they're singing.
We're going back.